चक्षुरुन्मीलितङ्गेन
दत्तप्रसादस्य
तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमो। महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरतिशे गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालयै कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तदभक्ताय नमो नमः। यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातर्या जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तर्वोभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानुकृष्ण। तवैवास्मि तवैवास्मि न जीवामि त्वया विना इति विज्ञाय राधे तं नयमाम चरणान्ति। माई हम्बल ओबेसियंसेस इन द लॉर्ड्स फीट ऑफ माई परमाराध्यतम गुरुदेव ओम विष्णुपाद श्री सुमद भक्ति प्रज्ञान केशव गोस्वामी महाराज एंड इन टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ माई शिक्षा गुरु ओम विष्णुपाद श्री सुमद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज। डोंट गिव बाय वन हैंड try to know the best now etiquette. Get to Ramesh Prabhu, senior devotee of more than anyone. And if any senior, you can give. Thank you. Very good. Give it to him. Today, yesterday we were discussing about bhakti and the gradation of bhakti. So in that connection we were discussing about the life history of
Bharat.
Ajamil, then Bharat. First or second story she told, but the discussion between Rahugan king and Bharat was not told. So you should tell. Or take your danda. In a very
brief.
I will have to tell so many things today. Finish this subject.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Vanchaka Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, as Shamani Didi was explaining yesterday, that there was a king, Maharaj Rishabdev. He was the incarnation of God, Shaktivesh Avatar.
And in need of translation, or you are doing? Ramesh Prabhu, you should go there. In that place, that he can stand up. Where is she? The translator.
It's going on.
She's at the back.
Why?
Simultaneous.
Oh, very good.
And he had 100 sons. Amongst them prominent was Bharat, who he left as king. Bharat, he ruled the kingdom for some 50,000 years. And then he left the kingdom and he went to perform meditation at a place called Pulaha Ashram by the bank of the Gandaki River.
It had been told.
So Bharat, he became attached to a deer and he left his body, and due to his attachment, he became a deer in the next life. And in that life as a deer, he also stayed by the bank of the Gandaki River in the association of sadhus. And in his next life, he took birth as a son of one Brahmin, and his name was then known as Jad Bharat. So Shyamalani Didi, she has explained that he was guarding the field of his brothers. And at that time, then some dacoits, they went and they took him and they went to offer him to Goddess Kali. And Goddess Kali, in turn, she came out of the deity and killed these dacoits. After that, there was a king. His name was Maharaj Ruhugana. And Maharaj Ruhugana, he was going to the ashram of Kapildev. And one of the palanquin quiet carriers fell sick. So they saw this Jad Bharat. And they got him because he was very strong, stout, and they had him to be one of the palanquin carriers. But Jad Bharat, because he was in such an exalted state of consciousness that he would not cause any harm to any living entity, as he was walking, there were ants along the way. And he was avoiding the ants. But in his avoiding the ants, he was not carrying the palanquin very correctly. And Maharaj Ruhugana, who was inside the palanquin, was rocking back and forth. Maharaj Ruhugana, immediately, he chastised the palanquin carriers. Said, "What are you doing? Can you not carry properly?" They said, no, it's not us. It is this other man, this new person here. He is going left and right and left and right, and in this way the palanquin is rocking. So Maharaj Ruhugana, immediately he chastised him. He said, "Oh, what is the problem? Are you too thin? Have you not eaten?" Actually, Jad Bharat was quite strong, quite stout. So he said, "Please, you carry properly." So then they started to carry again. But the second time, Jad Bharat again, he was avoiding the ants. And palanquin was shaking back and forth. So Maharaj Ruhugana again, he chastised him. He said, "Don't you know who I am? Why are you acting in such a way? You be very careful, that if you do not act properly, then I'll have to chastise you severely." And as he was chastising in this way, then Jad Bharat, he mentioned to him, he said, "Oh, my dear king, that you're a king, and in this position, you're bewildered, thinking that you're controller of all the people, and that you have this very exalted position. But you should understand that only due to the three modes of material nature, your karmic situation, you've taken this position. And in next life, I may be the ruler and you may be the palanquin carrier. But due to false ego, you're thinking that you're so exalted." And then he started to explain to him so much atmatattva. Maharaj Ruhugana, he was hearing and he became amazed that who is this person? That he looks like a very dull person. He hasn't taken bath. Practically speaking, he has no clothes on, but he's speaking in such an exalted way. So then Maharaj Ruhugana, he jumped down from his palanquin, understanding the exalted position of this person. And he offered his obeisances to him, falling flat like a rod. And he asked, "Oh, who are you? Are you some great sage? I see that you're wearing Brahmin thread. Maybe you're Dattatreya." Maharaj Ruhugana was on his way to the ashram of Kapiladev. He said, "Are you that very same Kapiladev? Is that you?" And in this way, he was asking. Jad Bharat, he explained to him that, "Oh, that you've chastised me. That you said that that practically you're like a dead person. You said, 'Oh, are you thin? Are you skinny? Are you malnourished?'" He said, "Actually, this kind of talk is coming from somebody who has no real spiritual intelligence. He said, because the soul is not thin, the soul is not malnourished, the soul is none of these things. But out of ignorance, you're thinking that you're king and these people are palanquin carriers. And you're thinking that we're all your servants. But actually, this is all due to complete ignorance. As he was speaking in this way, then Maharaja Huguna, he started to inquire from him. He said, my dear sir, that you're speaking such knowledge, but please, can you enlighten me on one thing? You're saying that these activities that are going on, that they're not going on by the soul. But I can see that actually the soul is feeling the pains and pleasures of the body. You're telling me that the soul is not feeling any pains and pleasure. You're saying that the soul is not carrying the palanquin. But I see that the soul is carrying. Why? He gave the example that if you have a pot of milk and you put that pot of milk on fire, then the pot will get hot. In turn, the milk will get hot and the rice that's within the milk, within that pot of milk, that will also get hot. He said in the same way, the body may be feeling so many pains and pleasures. So the senses will also feel the pains and pleasures. Definitely the mind, which is there within, that will also feel the pains and pleasures. And the soul will also be affected. So how can you say that the soul is not affected? That I cannot understand. Can you please instruct me? So then, Jat Bharat, then he started to explain the science of the soul. He explained that the illusion which is coming to the living entity is just as if one is in a dream. In a dream state, you may see that, oh, a tiger is coming to kill me. But then, and you're afraid, you're sweating, you see death in front of you. But then when you wake up, you see that it was just a dream. There was no tiger. It was just an illusion which has been created by the mind. In the same way, the living entity within this material world, who's conditioned by the three modes of material nature, then that mind comes under the influence of those three modes of material nature and starts to experience so many different interactions with material energy.
Oh, a very good example for this, more clear. There is a tree on the bank of any big pond. This should come more. क्या किया है सो व्हेन ए विंड केम एंड देयर वर वेव्स इन पॉन्ड दैट एनीवन वाज लुकिंग द शैडो ऑफ द ट्री एंड ही वाज सीइंग दैट ओ ट्री इज ट्रेम्बलिंग बट ट्री वाज नॉट ट्रेम्बलिंग What? Shadow was.
Shadow. Reflection.
Reflection.
So here, Jeev has nothing to do with sufferings and happiness of this world. But he seems, who are abundant Jeevas, for them, that, oh, I am suffering. But he is not suffering. He is always like a tree, but his shadow is. So we think that shadow, oh, myself. If this attachment will be go away, then very clear, oh, nothing to, like Jad Bharat. He has not that vision. But Rahugani still has that vision. So we should try to realize this fact and do bhajan. What is the essence of this upakhyan? Can you? What is the essence? Oh, there. Stand up. Oh.
The camera.
Oh, he likes to be in camera. Very good. I like that.
Gurudev, I'd like for you to be in the camera. I'd like to be behind the camera.
because this is fashion of
but you know my me really so
fashion of Iskcon especially.
Make sure that one goes out on TV. Srila Gurudev asked me to try to give essence of this upakhyan, this history and instructions, valuable instructions. Just at the point where Shripad Bhaktivedanta Ashram Maharaj was leading, actually Maharaj Ruhugana was still confused. He said, although he's given many enlightening instructions, I still can't grasp these truths. Judd Bharat said, absolute truth is understood as Brahma Paramatman Bhagavan. But my dear king, Raghunai Tad, Tapasa Nayati, Nachejaya, Nirvapanat Grihadva, Nachandasa Jalagnir Suryar, Vina Mahatpada Rajobisekam. Actually, my dear Rahugana, you cannot understand the absolute truth unless you smear your body, unless you take abhishekam, unless you bathe yourself in mahat padaraja, and the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord. All of this will remain incomprehensible to you. It doesn't matter if you do tapasya, if you execute household life perfectly, if you are a brahmachari or nirvapanavad, you take vanaprastha or sannyas. It doesn't matter, jalagnir suryar, if you stay submerged in water in the cold river in the winter, and or you sit in the blazing sun, suryar, in the summer. And all of these things won't make any difference in terms of understanding the actual situation of the absolute truth and the living entity and his relationship with the absolute truth. Only by associating with a mahat, with a mahatma, or a great soul, will these things become realized by you. This is the essence of this instruction.
Anything more? You first. Anything more to say? Essence? You?
Essence.
What? What?
Just a very good analogy is that if someone is in a car and the car has an accident and the car gets damaged, the person will feel suffering. This is the analogy of the milk and the rice getting hot with the pot. So King Rahugana is explaining in essence that the only way that the person would be miserable in the car is if he identified himself as the proprietor of the car. But if he doesn't think he's the owner of the car or think he is the car, then there's no suffering. So one of the essences of this instruction and conversation is that all misery is due to the illusion of identifying with the mind, which imagines that it's connected with material situations. Like, I am the carrier of this palanquin, so I'm having trouble.
Very good. More of that?
So, very, very important point is that Judd Bharat is telling Maharaj Rahugana that not by austerity, not by following brahmachari life, being perfect in your grihastha ashram, by following all types of rules and regulations, but even if theoretically, one may try and understand how the soul is different from the body, the mind, etc. But actually, we will not be able to be detached. That the only way we can be detached is Mahat Padam Pado Rajo Bishekam, that we'll have to do Sadhu Sangha. That again and again, this point is being emphasized in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in all scriptures. That if we want to achieve the goal, if we want to achieve realization, then we'll have to Mahat Padam Rajo Bishekam. We'll have to bathe ourselves in the dust coming from the lotus feet of sadhus. What does that mean? That does not just mean literally, even though from the dust coming from lotus feet of sadhus, there's great, great potency, immense potency. But how that potency will be manifest to us? By actually surrendering to such sadhus, to giving ourselves to such sadhus. This is bathing ourselves in the dust of the lotus feet. That becoming surrendered for their will,
and being an instrument to carry out their will, then gradually those moods which are coming from sadhus, then they will also come within our heart. And in this way, we're really bathing in the dust of the lotus feet of sadhus. Then we'll be able to realize these very subtle points which are there within Shastra. That theory is not enough. That practical realization is needed. And that will only come by surrender to the lotus feet of sadhus.
Very good. Very good. Anything more? Any teaching?
From all Bharatabhakya, or only the conversation with Rahugan?
No, of whole Bharat. Sorry.
Om Ganati Varandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Valitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
In brief, the essence of the teachings.
This Upakhyan of Bharat Maharaj is extremely instructive. First of all, we find that in his first career, when he was the king of the world, and leaving everything, he came to the forest. He was doing his sadhan bhajan, and he was alone. He was without association. And at that time, some attachment came to a baby deer. This attachment began very small. It was slight. But he could not check it. It began to grow day by day by day. It became deeper and deeper until it uprooted his spiritual practices. When he was chanting Gayatri, he was not chanting Gayatri, only remembering that deer. Wondering, oh, will the deer come and stick his nose under my arm like this while I'm chanting? And in this way, he became completely attached to the deer and his spiritual practices were ruined. So here the teaching is that the living entity in this world, even up to quite advanced stage, he is susceptible to be derailed, to be deviated by the mature energy. Because the living entity is very tiny and the material energy is very powerful. So, at that time, it is absolutely essential and vital that the living entity take shelter of the guidance of a pure devotee. And being under their guidance, then that pure devotee can impart to them chitbal, spiritual strength, whereby they can overcome all the chitta-vikar, all the transformations of the heart caused by the material energy, and continue to make progress on the spiritual path. So then, another teaching here. Jad Bharat, in that life, he remembered a deer at the last moment of his life. And in his next life, he became a deer. So this is giving evidence to support the principle. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chadyatyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. In Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he explains, whatever state of consciousness you are absorbed in at the time of death, you must attain that state. You will become like that. Therefore, if one is very serious about becoming an associate of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, then this same principle will apply. On the basis of this principle, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad has written, Krishnam smaram janam chasya prashtam nija samihitam tat tat katara taschaso kuryad vasam braje sada. This is the sadhan, or the practice of Raganuga Bhakti, by which one can attain Vrindavan. Krishnam smaran. You must remember Krishna, but only remembering Krishna is not enough. Krishnam smaram janam cha asya. You should remember Krishna along with one of his very dear associates. Prestam nija samihitam. If you want to serve Krishna like Madhya Yashoda, oh, then you should remember Madhya Yashoda. If you want to serve Krishna like his friends, oh, then be absorbed in the services of Subal, Madhu Mangal, and others. And if one wants to serve Krishna like gopis, then he will have to remember gopis like Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. Tattak katara tas chaso. Always absorbed in the katara about that particular associate of Radha and Krishna. And kuryad vasam braje sada. In his heart. Oh, better than that. Physically and also by heart. One should reside in Vrindavan always. And in this way, if one will pass his life being absorbed in the moods of a particular associate of Krishna, then at the time of death, just as Jad Bharat, without any effort at all. Bharat Maharaj said, without any effort at all, he easily became a deer. So in the same way, one who passes his life absorbed in following the moods of the associates of Radha and Krishna at the time of their death, or they will easily become an associate of Radha and Krishna. This is the essence of this
That I wanted to tell you, that he has made clear. And even so, if anyone is Sharanagat, means
surrender. Unconditionally surrender.
Totally surrender, like Bharat, then he can develop his Krishna consciousness. Even he was taken by dacoits and they were ready to kill. They told that, you should take this thing, a reddish
cloth
and some prasadam. And easily he took, laughing, smiling. No death fear, no fear of death. Can you be like that? Oh, Krishna prem is not so easy. So be fast like this.
Microphone maybe, because we are going to go on TV, maybe we'll do a Spanish translation on microphone.
If you think favorable for devotees, you can do. Because these are very important things. You can...
Because now they are filming, so we're thinking...
Maybe, you can tell?
We do some Spanish now. No?
You can add about the studio.
They can add it in the studio.
Okay. Sorry. Later on.
What?
They can, in studio, they can add the sound in Spanish. They can add the translation.
In the studio?
Yes. Yeah.
Looking at the tape.
The, it will come.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should get all these things. Very important. So, a pure devotee who is Sharanagat, surrendered totally, and he wants to know all these Atma Vidya.
Knowledge of the soul.
Knowledge of the soul and super soul. His relations. Who should be like him? As Haridas Thakur has no fear from death. And same, Pranad Maharaj, no fear for death. He was smiling. Why is smiling? When they were ready to cut, he saw their swords. But never feared. Smiling why? Rakhavi Maravi Joy Chatuara. Nitya Das Prati Tuhar. I've given my life and soul to God, O Krishna, to you. Now it depends on me. What you want? You want to keep me in this world or you want to take me with you? In both ways, I'm very happy. If I'm going to you, I will serve you there and here. Preach your mission and I will be happy. So it depends on me. What you want? You want to take me or to keep here? A devotee should be like that. Otherwise he cannot. He should be first surrender to his Gurudev. And if he is not surrendering Gurudev, he cannot surrender to Krishna. He must obey his Guru. And then to Krishna. Otherwise Krishna will not accept his application. His prayer. So, like this. One thing more. If you want to develop on Krishna consciousness, don't try to exhibit your bhakti to others. Okay? Don't. Keep it like camphor in your heart. Like Bharat, what did? He never told to anyone. Only out of mercy he told to Rahugana. Not to others. He was hiding his whole things in him. Mahaprabhu, he is telling, Napremma gandhosti dharapi me harau. I am not as even a trace or even a shadow of pain, nothing, then why you are weeping? I'm weeping for self-praise that always praise me. If I had prem, like a fish even, if fish is taken out of water, at once in a moment she died. And I am not meeting with Krishna. And I am bearing, tolerating the separation. Then how I have a pain. So try to hide all these things. Apan bhajana katha na kahibe ane. Perhaps Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Narottam Thakur. Narottam Thakur. Don't tell. Oh, I have seen Krishna in my dream. I have realized. Sometimes I weep bitterly for Krishna. Don't tell all these things. I chant 1 lakh name of these things. I can speak very well, more than anyone. Like he hides all, everything from. If you want to develop Krishna prem, you should be like that. What about Ambarish Maharaj? Very brief. Very brief. No, amount in 5 minutes. Don't go detail. I want to touch the subject.
Om Agyanam Timarandasya Gyanam Janasalakaya Chaksura Militam Yena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namah. Srila Gurudev has ordered me to talk about Ambarish Maharaj in brief. Ambarish Maharaj was a great king, so great that although he was the king of the entire planet, he considered all the opulence of the whole world to be as insignificant as a piece of stone. He engaged all of his senses, first engaging his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna and engaging all the rest of his senses in the service of the Lord, his nostrils in smelling the incense and all of the senses engaged. He was such a great king that all of his citizens also used to absorb themselves in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, and they also felt that even great mystic opulences and heavenly planets, all those pleasures, were insignificant. Maharaj Ambarish is a devotee in Bhava Bhakti. That is, he has not yet achieved his Vastu Siddhi, his spiritual body, and serving the Lord with his spiritual body externally. He's serving with his sadhak's body, but internally he's engaged in serving the deity in great opulence and pomp. And internally he's engaged in serving with his internally conceived body as a devotee in Bhava Bhakti and remembering the Lord's Astika Lila and serving in that way and also going to the holy places and engaging in the activities of Raghunatha Bhakti. Maharaj Ambarish is a perfect example of someone who glorifies and follows Ekadasi, a perfect example for us. He was observing Ekadasi and Dvadasi for a whole year. That is, observing a 3-day fast, the day before Ekadasi, Ekadasi, and the day after. And now, after 1 year, he wanted to break that year's worth of Ekadasi fasting by taking padan. Padan is the foodstuffs or water taken to break the fast of Ekadasi. If padan is not taken at a specific time of the day, then the Ekadasi rut is not complete. So Maharaj Ambarish was just about to take his padan. But just at that moment, Durvasa Muni came, uninvited and unexpected, a great rishi and sage and brahmana. And naturally, when a brahmana comes to one's house, he stops what he's doing and offers him something to eat. So Maharaj Ambarish offered that, please take your bath, and then we'll have some prasadam for you. So Durvasa Muni went to the Jamuna to take bath, and during that time, the clock was ticking away, and the time for padan was almost over. So Maharaj Ambarish had to make a decision. The decision was, should I offend the Brahmana and go to hell by eating before him or and observing the codicil, or should I offend the codicil and entirely lose my bhakti because of offense to a codicil, which is bhakti janani, the mother of bhakti and the birth of bhakti, and Krishna himself more important even than Janmasthami. So he decided, even if I'm in hell, if I have my bhakti, then my life will be successful. And I shouldn't even be offending the Brahmana, because what I think I'll do is I'll take water, which according to Shastra is neither eating nor not eating. It's fasting and eating both. So the Brahmana shouldn't be angry with me. And so that he wouldn't make a unilateral decision, he confirmed his decision with the saintly Brahmanas, who were his advisors. Following the Varnashram system, though he was a pure devotee, he took advice from the Brahmanas, being a Kshatriya. So just when he was taking the puddin, just after he took, Durvasa Muni, who was a person who was able to be in trance and see what was happening outside of his sensual recollection, he was able to understand while he was bathing in the Jamuna that Maharaj Ambarish was taking something before he, the guest, the honored guest, was taking. So he became very angry and he went back to the palace, and then he spoke in very angry, cruel words to Maharaj Ambarish, who responded very humbly and just stood there with folded palms. So that wasn't sufficient for Durvasa Rishi.
Brief.
So he tried to kill him by pulling out a hair and sending which turned into a fire demoness that went for Maharaj Ambarish, but Maharaj Ambarish was thinking of the Lord, and the Lord reciprocated by sending his Sudarshan Chakra, which is the weapon that destroys the whole universe at the time of annihilation. So Durvasa Muni ran for his life in the valleys, in the mountains, everywhere. He went to Lord Brahma to give him protection. He wouldn't give him protection. He went to Lord Shiva. He wouldn't. He sent him to Lord Vishnu in Ramapriya Vaikuntha. Then he went to Vishnu. They had a whole conversation. He was demanding protection. But Lord Vishnu was getting more and more angry, saying, you don't deserve protection. And only my devotee like Ambarish Maharaj deserves to be protected. He's dependent on me. And you, even when my own weapon came, you ran without any faith in me at all. So the only way that you can be saved is not by me, because I don't have the power to save you, because my mind isn't with me. My mind lives in my devotee as my devotee's mind lives in me. I only know him and he knows me.
Not mind, heart. Use heart.
Heart. So you'll have to go back to Maharaj Ambarish if you want to be saved. In the meantime, all this running and running and pleading took a year. And during that year, Maharaj Ambarish was fasting, not blaming at all Durvasa Muni, but blaming himself that because of me, this Brahman is in so much suffering. So he was praying to Sudarshan Chakra to please not burn him and to be cool and peaceful. So finally when he prayed that if I've done any service to you, if I've done any austerities and you're pleased with me, O Sudarshan Chakra, please stop your fiery running after Durvasa Muni. Then Sudarshan Chakra stopped and Durvasa Muni reached Maharaj Ambarish and he begged pardon. He fell at his feet and Maharaj Ambarish said, oh yes, immediately you take the results of my pious activities, be delivered. He's so loving and renounced. Then he fed sumptuously Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni saw the wonderful Vaishnava behavior of Maharaj Ambarish, and he himself became a Vaishnava. But he already was a Vaishnava. In fact, he was a Prani Bhakta. But not like us who always want other people to look bad so that we can look good. He didn't care that he looked bad so that Maharaj Ambarish could be glorified as a great and humble Vaishnava. Srila Gurudev said when we asked him that Maharaj Ambarish was so concerned about breaking his Ekadasi fast at the exact right moment, and yet he was fasting for the entire year while Durvasa Muni was running around in fear. So how is that? He skipped all of his Dadasi ruts. So Gurudev explained that because he's a self-realized soul, he doesn't really have to follow Ekadasi. He does so to show example for us and to show that better to sacrifice anything and even go to hell as long as we keep our bhakti.
Also, he was fasting whole year and all year was for him Ekadashi.
Nirjala.
What is the essence of Ambarish Maharaj?
The essence of Ambarish Maharaj is that he engaged all of his senses in the service of the Lord, and he didn't care for any material disturbance at all. He didn't care that he was going to attempt to be killed. He didn't care about his relationship with anyone, the Brahmin, or going to hell or heaven. He only cared about his bhakti. So Gurudev tells this story as he's giving the varieties of bhaktas and bhaktis in terms of the barometer of the verse Anyabhilasita Sunyam. Srila Gurudev told the story of Bharat Maharaj, who fell down due to attachment. He told the story of Prahlad Maharaj, who was so great and on the platform of praying, but he couldn't render service to the Lord because he knew of his opulences. So Ambarish Maharaj comes next as more superior, because even though he wasn't at the stage of praying, he was at the stage of bhava-bhakti and serving with his sadhaka body, not with his vastu-siddhi body. Still, he was always engaged with all of his senses in the service of the Lord, his mind and all of his senses.
Thank you.
Sacrificed everything for bhakti.
Very good. Ambarish Maharaj, like Jad Bharat, no fear for death. Death was just standing on the front of Ambarish Maharaj. And what he is doing? Oh, save this Brahman. Not for him. And Durvasa, a Brahma Rishi,
running here and
there to save him. So in this case, both are same, like Jad Bharat and
Ambarish Maharaj.
But I think superior is Ambarish Maharaj. His bhakti was pure then. He was Jnani Bhakta, like Prahlad Maharaj. And he knew Atma Tattva. But he is more than that. He was bhakti pure. Living in Vrindavan, great towards Braj Bhakti. Jad Bharat has nothing with Braj Bhakti. He was bhakti, but not like. He never kabhi man mein,
never thinks about Braj.
Never. And he doing following all Ekasi Mahadasi in Braj and doing parikrama in Braja, Nandagaon, Barsana, Vrindavan, Rasasthal and everywhere in Govardhan. So I think him superior, more superior. Oh, you know that Jad Bharat and Ambarish Maharaj both were in Bhav Bhakti, but he is more superior. It is true. But you know the history of Phal Bikrayani in Vrindavan, a lady of Vrindavan. I think that she is most millions of times than Jad Bharat and
Ambarish.
You know the history of Phal Bikrayani in a very brief. Very brief.
Srila Gurudev ordered me to speak in brief the history of Phal Bikrayani. That means the fruit seller lady. Once, at the time when,
of Mathura.
Yes. When Krishna was in this world, he manifested his sweet, beautiful pastimes in Gokul, Mahavan, in the house of Nanda Maharaj, when he was only about 2.5 or 3 years old. At that time, there was one lady of a low caste who lived in Mathura, and she would sell fruit. She would keep fruit in a basket on her head, and she would go from street to street, calling out, "Follow, follow, take fruit, take fruit. Who will buy my fruits?" So, this lady as she was traveling here and there, she had the good fortune to meet with bridge buses. And when two ladies meet together, what happens? Once they begin speaking, and if you meet a bridge basi, what will they speak about? Only about Krishna. And they will sing, Govinda Dhamo Dharma Dhamme Ki, Govinda Dhamo Dharma Dhamme Ki. Very brief. So, by associating with the bridge basis and hearing their kirtan, hearing their descriptions of Krishna, what happened? A very strong greed came in her heart. I want to have the darshan of Krishna and serve Krishna. This is the power of association with pure devotees. So she put all the best fruits one morning. She put all the best fruits in her basket. And taking the basket on her head, she set off for Brajagokul. And she had a vow in her heart. Today I must see Krishna. Do or die. If I don't see Krishna today, I should not return. She was very, very determined. And she came there, and she was moving around the house of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul, calling, Fallo, Fallo. But she was so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that she forgot what she was saying. And instead of saying, take fruits, she was saying, Govinda Lo, Madhav Lo, Damodar Lo, and calling the name of Krishna. But Krishna did not come. So she became very, very, in a very deep mood of separation and sat down and she was weeping. So Krishna was inside the house. And Krishna, if someone will call the name of Krishna with tears in their eyes and heart melting, what will happen? Krishna becomes restless and he wants to meet with that person. So Krishna, he took some grains in his hand and he went outside to meet with that fruit seller. But her face was down and weeping. So Krishna came and said, hey, Fallo, Fallo. Give me fruit. And she looked up and saw, that very beautiful form of Krishna that she had been so much desirous of seeing. Like a small child, with very beautiful reddish bhima fruit lips and lotus eyes and curling hair, decorated with peacock feather and a necklace of pearls. Otherwise he was naked, because he's a small child and playing naked. Upon seeing him, she became completely stunned and many ecstatic moods came. She could not give any reply. And Krishna, he said, again, hey, Faldo, give me fruit. And then she came back incensed. And Krishna, he was standing there with his little reddish palms held out, and his eyes were looking down at the basket of fruits. And some water was coming on his tongue. He wanted to taste that fruit. So she said, that I am a fruit seller, you should give something, because this is how I live my life. People give something for fruit. Krishna went like this with his hand, and only one or two grains fell from his hand. Because he is a baby, he did not know how to close his fingers. So when he was running there, all the grain fell on the ground. So he had nothing to give. He became a little shy. So then she said, okay, I'll give you fruit, but there's one condition. What is that? You should sit in my lap, and you should call me mommy. You should call me mother. So when Krishna heard this, he thought, what can I do? Madhya Shodri is my mommy. And she's from a low caste, how can I sit in her lap? Then Krishna looked at the fruits and thought, okay, I can do it. So then Krishna, to make sure that no one was seeing him, he looked this way, and then he looked that way, to make sure no one was watching. And then he sat down in her lap, said, mommy, and jumped up again. Faldo, give me fruit. Only 1 second. But her desire was fulfilled, and very happily, she took all those fruits, and she put the fruits in the hands of Krishna, and Krishna, happily dancing, he went back into the house and distributed those fruits to his friends. So when Krishna was going, as he was leaving, he gave one sidelong glance. And by that glance, he completely stole her heart and went away. Now she's sitting and Krishna's taken her heart. So if the heart is gone, then the other senses, they cannot move. She cannot take one step even. So she was sitting there until evening time. One bridge basi came and said, hey, the sun is going down, go home. You should go home. So in separation from Krishna, she took her basket on her head and she got up. And just out of habit, because she had come to Gokul many days before, out of habit she began to walk in the direction of Jamuna and returning to her home in Mathura. But when she came onto the bank of the Jamuna, at that time she felt that the basket was very heavy. She said, I gave my fruits, my basket should be empty. Why is my basket so heavy? and she took down the basket from her head, and she saw that it was completely full of jewels. Oh, so many transcendental, priceless treasures, so much wealth we cannot imagine. And she was a poor person. So I think that if we will get so much wealth, we may become happy. But when she saw this wealth, then her heart was broken in two pieces, completely broken. She said, why? Why I would ask Krishna for anything? I don't want these things. Oh, the wealth of this world will distract our mind away from Krishna. Distract us from the path of devotional service. So it is not wealth. It is a burden. It is a death sentence, actually. So then she took the basket and turned it upside down and threw all the jewels in the Jamuna. And happily singing the names of Krishna, she went singing and dancing back into the forest of Gokul Mahavan. And she was never seen again. So it could be that at some time, Krishna called her. Why? Because Putana came to Krishna and said, and as if she was a mother, but actually she wanted to kill him. And what did Krishna do? Krishna sent her to Golok. So if this person comes to Krishna, heart melting and tears crying in separation from Krishna, and wants Krishna to treat her like mother, then what destination will she get? Oh, must be superior to the destination attained by Putana. So Krishna, one day he called her, come on. And she did not go to Golok, but she went to Braj, to Golok Vrindavan, to the highest destination. And she's there today and taking Krishna on her lap, and Krishna is calling her mother even today. So those who will chant as a neighbor of Mother Yashoda. So those who will take the name of Krishna, being eagerly desirous to have his darshan and serve him with sambandhagyan, with relationship. Krishna, you are my friend. Krishna, you are my darling child. Or especially, Krishna, you are the beloved of my Swamini. If someone will chant Nam with relationship, then it's definite, it is absolutely certain that at any time, Krishna will call that person and they will join him forever in transcendental Goloka Vrindavan.
Very good. Can you think any comparison between this fruit seller and Ambarish Maharaj or Bharat? Any comparison? Not. Even Ambarish Maharaj cannot. Have to chance that Krishna will come in his lap and he will tell him father or mother or anything? Never. So she is more superior. Because she is in Braja. Always seeing Krishna. And in the end, she received the motherlihood love. And in Braja special, in the never of Yashoda Maiya. So how fortunate she. You know, Pulindi Kanya in Govardhan, in low cost, in what tribes?
Aboriginal
tribes.
Scheduled
caste.
Scheduled tribe.
Also blackish, like hilly tribes. What he used to do, one day, she was in forest to pick up some flowers, some cow dungs and some fruits. But he saw in the morning and he became upset. What to do? She saw on the grasses, otake ki bole?
Do.
Do. Or coming from a sky like water?
Dew.
Dew. Mixing with reddish color. And he at once remembered Krishna and became full of love and affection for Krishna. And by this reason he wanted to embrace Krishna. And then he took that reddish kumkum from that dust and put on her. Purana pulinda urugaya padabhyaraga shinkam kumena daitastana manditina tadarsan asmara rujatana rushitena lepyanti anand kuchaus tad ahuj. What is the meaning? This low caste of lady of Govardhan walking and saw some reddish kumkum on the grasses. From where it came? Daitastana manditena. Daita is Radhika. Oh, she always puts kumkum on her breast and body. And Krishna put his feet on the breast of Srimati Radhika. And thus that kumkum came in the lotus feet of Krishna. And now Krishna going to his home, and in the way, in morning, dews were there, and thus that kumkum was mixed with that water.
On the rock.
And that kumkum, that Pulinda girl, she too. What was that? Daitastana manditena. And same fairy Radhika is telling the glorification. I am not like Pulindi Kanya. Purna Pulinda Urugaya Padab Jarago. Oh, any Daita. And kumkum is of her. And Krishna took on his face. And that Pulindi, not always meeting with Krishna, but she is more fortunate than me or anyone. Because she took that kumkum everywhere. And in the mind, her heart, embraced Krishna totally. And Krishna became her. Oh, I am not
so fortunate
like that. Can you compare this lady to
fruit seller?
Any comparison?
No.
So who is superior?
Pulindikarna.
So you should see. Now, more superior. Oh, in Nandagaon,
a new bride
came from any village. She was married to Nandagaon. She has heard the glories and beauty of Krishna. That Krishna is very tricky, very, crooked, and very attractive. But he has never seen. He has seen the glory. He has heard the glory. And he was happy that I am going to Nandagaon. My husband will be in Nandagaon. So when she came, one day, Krishna was going to cowherd. Millions of cows going. Baldev Prabhu and all Sakha, millions of Sakha were also following. Balram with his companion, he went forward with Singha.
Buffalo horn.
Not buffalo, like buffalo from leaves. And he was playing on that. And he left Krishna behind because he knows the etiquette of a rush. And that is why he left Krishna alone, that he will meet with gopis. And that gopi wanted to come, newly married. She wanted to come, but his mother-in-law stopped him. Don't go. Otherwise, a black serpent will
bite you.
Don't go. And what happened? She told that, why you are going? Why your daughter is going? Why all the ladies and old are young, or teenagers, all are going? What I have done offense that I cannot go. I must go, whether you are angry or anything. And she went, and she was standing on the door. And Krishna knew his mood. And from very far away he saw that newly married gopi. And he took the
tail of
any beautiful calf, very white. And at once he jumped and came running towards that door where she was standing, totally absorbed in Krishna. And when Krishna came following him, that cough, and then he took his flute and he did like this, and at once took her heart slowly and went to forest smiling. And what Svigam, without heart, totally absorbed in Krishna. Krishna went. Even all dhula,
dust
were come down.
Subside.
Krishna became oversight. And she was standing. And then what became? Her mother-in-law came and told, oh, what you are being here standing? I told you that a black serpent will come and perhaps he has bitten you. Now you should come with me and talk forcibly. And when she came, you should churn yogurt. And told that, bring that pot of yogurt. And she brought. And she was doing like this. But his heart and mind was not there.
Due to habits he is doing.
But she, that pot was not of yogurt, but it was of a
mustard seed.
And he was thinking that. Again, her mother-in-law came and told, what you are doing? You are churning, not yogurt, what you are doing? Oh, go and bring water. And he gave what? One pot after another pot, third pot. And he gave some bucket and
rope
here. And he gave a boy here. And also here some pots. You should go and bring. Oh, praise lady, very powerful, not like you.
Very smart.
Very powerful. So she went to a well very far away in Braj, very rare sweet waters. So far away from her. Her mother-in-law thought that she will go and bring, then he will come incense. So she went, but her heart and mind was not with her. She went to the well and she kept the pots there, and boy also, and he wanted to
pull the rope around the pot.
But his mind was not there. See, he took the rope and he binded the put in the neck of that boy. Then all the gopis who were pulling water, what happened to this lady? He is keeping, giving rope in the
neck of that
boy. Anyone told?
Ghost.
No. Bhoot nahi. Nand ka poot laga hai. No ghost. Really Krishna, the son of Nand has taken her mind and everything. So he is there. What meaning? Can be any comparison with this lady to Pulindi? No, never.
Pulindi indirect. He's direct.
Indirect. And this?
Direct.
Oh, because she is gopi. Pulindi was not gopi. So more love and affection to Krishna. She is more superior. And after that day, she may meet Krishna here and there with other gopis. In the guidance of Nitya Siddha Gopi, he will go. But more superior who? More superior. Jat king kari subhausa khaluka kubani nityam parasya purushasya shikhanda mauli jasya kadarasanidhe visubhanu jaya tatakeli kunj bhavanangan marjanisham. More superior. Who? The king is of Radha, the maidservant of Radhika. Srimati Radhika has ordered. There is a black in Vrindavan. And very, what?
Cheater.
Clever. outside, inner side both black. If he will come here, oh, don't let him come in my kunja. I don't want to see him again. She should return back. He should not come to me. And tricky Krishna came there and wanted a permission that I should go to Srimati Radhika. I want to meet. I want to
pacify her.
But all the gopis, like Rupmanjari, Rati, and all very today very strict. They told you cannot go. You should return back. We cannot order them. And what Krishna was doing? Being Supreme Lord, Lord of Lords. And what doing? Keeping his head on the lot of feet of gopis and praying, let me go, let me go. Now compare that new coming lady and serving Krishna and Radhika in this way. Who is superior? Oh, these manjaris are more superior. But why they are superior? Because they are serving Srimati Radhika. Why? Because Venu karanipatitam skalitam shikhandam brashtancha pitavasanam brajarajasuno jasya kataksa sarghat vimurchitasya tang radhika paracharami kadarasena. Oh Krishna, lords of lords. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Very attractive. But even when he looks towards Srimati Radhika, when Krishna is going to cowherding, and Srimati Radhika with her sakhi is standing near a kunj, hiding. And when Krishna saw at once by the glance of Radhika, what he became? Oh, flute came down from his down, from his hand. At once. You know this flute, very powerful. Even Brahma, Shankar and all, Shankarshan, they are mohit ho jate hain.
Bewildered.
And all the gopis are bound to come from their houses in the night, even serving their husband, their sons, churning or anything, cooking, giving up. So Bansi is very powerful. If any gopi becomes manvati,
sulking,
at once by flute, oh Krishna, very easily he can
break her sulking
mood. So Bansi is very powerful, but it comes down from the hands of Krishna. And what more? Oh, his peacock feather comes down. Where it goes? In the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. And what becomes more? He becomes at once fan. And then Madhu Mangal, oh, what are you doing? Mother Yashoda and Nand Baba are here. And it is very hard for Krishna to maintain his sense. Who is she? Radhika. So Radhika is most what? Superior than anyone, even to Chandrauli or anyone. In some cases, Srimati Radhika is guru of Krishna, friend of Krishna, servant of Krishna. What? Mantri of Krishna, Shakha of Krishna. Especially guru of love and affection. So Radhika is most superior. And how you can have only one process. What? Anaradhya radha padam bhoja dainum anasitya bindatamim tat padankam asambhasra tad bhava gambhir chittanam kutha shyam sindhu rasasya. Who can dive? Who can sink in the ocean of love? And that is shyam ras. Shyam ras, you know? Shyam ras, the love and affection of Krishna. Who can have this? Only anaradhya radha padam bhoj. who had not served Radhika. The lotus dirt of Radhika, they cannot. And those who have not served Vinda Tamim Tat Padankam, where Radhika's footsteps are everywhere, foot dust is everywhere, that Vinda Tavi, if that anyone has not taken shelter of Vinda Tavi, and who has not taken shelter of the person who is always sinking in the love and affection of Srimati Radhika. Asambhasya tad bhava gambhira chittanam, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, like other Goswami, if he has not heard their Harikatha, meaning is this, then he cannot know the glorification of Srimati Radhika. Oh, this is our ultimate goal. I want to finish here my class, beginning from where? From Shraddha we began. And then, oh, so many Harikatha was there. The essence of all comes here, that our object is that to serve Radhika. But we should begin from the last fraction of bhakti, from Shraddha, that is called Vaidhi Bhakti, and then gradually go up. Then you will not fall down. And if you have no taste for all these things, oh, you are already
fallen down,
nothing to fall down. Gaur Premanandini. Oh, you should ready very soon you should ready drama play.
Hare Krishna. So Srila Gurudev, being merciful, give some initiation. Now Srila Gurudev, give announce your new spiritual name.
Very soon,
and
you should start.
After fire sacrifice, who has arranged their bhiksha, they can come and offer to the lotus feet of Gurudev. Hare Bol.
Subal Prabhu, please stand up, receiving Diksha.
Where is Subal?
Subalito.
Oh, he has gone to fraud drama. Subal Prabhu ki? Yeah. No?
Angel Javier Hernandez Jimenez.
Angel Javier.
What name?
Achyutananda.
Achyutananda Prabhu ki? Yeah. Achyutananda.
Honesta.
Thank you. Achyutanandi, your name.
Bring your bhiksha.
More.
Yelena.
Try. Pass.
Where is Yelena?
Oh, thank you.
Yasoda Gopi.
Oh, Yasoda Gopi. Yasoda Gopi ki?
Rose Marie. Please sit up. Rosa Marie.
Rosemaria.
Rangadevi.
Rangadevi ki jai. More.
Receiving Shiksha, Gurutam Prabhu ki jai.
What name?
Gurutam Prabhu. Gurutam. Oh.
What name?
Gurutam Shiksha.
Gurutam Prabhu ki jai.
Also receiving Diksha today, Kripa Nidhi Das Prabhu.
Kripa is Das Nidhi Prabhu ki jai.
Receiving Harina, Clara, Ines.
Clara Ines.
What name?
Vaidyanti.
Vaidyanti Devi ki jai. To me.
From Granada, receiving Harina, Juana Lagostera Silva.
What name?
Janava.
Janava Devi ki jai.
Receiving Harina from England, Maggie Levian.
What name? Oh, Manorama Devi ki jai. Manorama.
receiving Diksha, Premalata Dasi.
Premalata Dasi ki jai. Where Premalata? Where Premalata?
Call a legal name.
Oh, yes.
Pilar.
Thank you.
Premalata.
Call a legal name then.
Why you should ask them? Anything, any more? Finish. Very good. Take it out, please.
Oh. Take. Oh, Ramesh Prabhu, please speak in Spanish.
Take this, I will want to go.
Take this.
Take this all.
Por favor, los otros que los otros devotos que tienen que dar la donación, que se aproximen.
Oh,